ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, 15 through 19. We're going to start there. And I really was trying to wind this up, this series, last week. I hope it's been a blessing to you. We've been talking about expanding your world. We're going to continue and hopefully close out here because I have something else in my spirit I want to release to you starting next week, another series that we're going to get into you that I really believe is going to help you and encourage you in your walk with the Lord and in your possession of your promises. How many of you know you got promises that God has given you? There are things God promised he would give you. And some of you, it's very clear in the scriptures, but others of you, it's things that he spoke to you when you were a little child, or things he showed you, or it's promises that he said he would do for you. We're going to talk about how to possess those things. Some of you in here have always known you're supposed to be prosperous. You're supposed to own a business, or you're supposed to help people, or whatever it might be. And we're going to talk about how to really possess those promises starting next week. But today, we're finishing up expanding your world and the understanding that the Bible tells us in Proverbs, in the Message Bible, that the world of the generous gets bigger and bigger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller, and those that help others will themselves be helped as well. And it is a key to living a big life. Everybody say a big life. We're called to live big lives. We're called to do great things. We're called to greatness. I mean, if you look at what it takes for a human being to come into the earth, you've got to understand that there are no losers. Amen? Because what it takes for a sperm to meet the egg cell, and that percentage of what it took for that sperm to fertilize that egg, man, the strongest of the strong are the only ones that make it. Amen? And you made it, and you're here today. And there's a reason God sent you from heaven. And we know our origin is from heaven. We come from God into the earth. And the fact that you weren't aborted, come on, somebody. The fact that you made it through and you're here, don't waste that. Don't waste that on frivolous living or low-level living. There is something great you're supposed to do and accomplish. And we serve a big God, and he wants to expand your world. And if we've been talking about this, and if you haven't got that, you can go online and you can go and get the podcast and listen to these things. But there's one ingredient about expanding your world that you better have understanding of, and that is the church and how to connect in it and how you have a role to play in the church of Jesus Christ. We're never called to be lone rangers or lone wolves. We're called to run with the pack. Come on, somebody. We're called to have a crew. We're called to have a squad. How many got squad goals out there? Well, we're called, and there's a place for you, all right, in the body of Christ. So let's read Matthew 16, 15 through 19, and then we're going to pray and just jump right in. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" This is Jesus asking Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to get into the word today. I pray that everybody's hearts and spirits and minds are open to the truths that you want to bring to us today. I believe, Lord God, you're expanding our worlds through our understanding. That, Father, we can go far if we open up our minds and our spirit to your word. And we ask that the word would come alive today and live and transform lives today. And we ask this in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I love this scripture, and it's very foundational, and you've probably heard it before, and you'll hear it many more times. It's basically Jesus talking to us about his agenda in the earth, his plan in the earth. It's basically hearing from God the reason that Jesus was sent. And he starts off with, he brings it about as Simon Peter reveals something incredible when he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That word, the Christ, means you're the anointed one. You're the chosen one. the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks over to him and he says, I call you Peter. And he says, upon this rock I will build my church. And the rock that he was talking about was not necessarily Peter. It was the rock of revelation, of understanding that that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And it's what gathers us all here today from different walks of life, from different places throughout our city, from different places throughout our world. It's amazing as I look across this crowd, the people that God has brought together on this revelation that Jesus is Lord. How many know that's a powerful thing? We've got people here from all different walks of life. And you got friends here that maybe if it wasn't for Jesus, you would never get the opportunity to call them friend. You would never get to experience what life is through their eyes and through their world. But that revelation of knowing Jesus is Lord is the starting point of an incredible life. It's a starting point of an incredible adventure when you understand what it's all about. And Jesus gives it to us right here. He says, it's upon the rock of understanding that I am the Son of the living God that I will build my church. And this is the only place you'll find Jesus talking about what his mission is in the earth. We're to build the church. The only thing that God is building on the planet earth is his church. The Bible tells us that where the eyes of Jesus, where the eyes of God the Father are, they're on his church daily. You want to see what God's concerned about? His church. And there's so many Christians that walk through this life and they're anti-church. They speak against church. Well, I love God, I just don't go to church. I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe in this, this, and that. And they have all these reasons. They have all these things, these experiences to back up what they believe. Well, I used to go to church and the pastor fell in sin. Well, I used to go to church and the pastor was stealing money. Well, I used to go to church and this happened and this, I was hurt this way and all these things. And those are very unfortunate things. They're very unfortunate things. But it doesn't change God's word. What it should change is how we go to a church. What it should change is what we're looking at now. We should be looking for healthy things. We should investigate. We should have discernment. We should never blindly follow anybody. And so those are the things that should change when we experience things like that. We shouldn't stop going to church. How many people have been hurt in different aspects of life, but they continue on it? There's been doctors that have cut off the wrong legs when they were supposed to cut off the other leg, but we still go to doctors. Amen? You laugh, but you wouldn't laugh if you were the guy who lost the wrong leg. And it's happened. It's happened. Doctors make mistakes. Talking to a doctor recently, he said, oh yeah, we get sued all the time. Because the profession of the medical profession, it's not perfect. So people make mistakes. People prescribe the wrong drug or too much of it. And people die all the time. But we still go to doctors. Come on, somebody. We're just a little bit more wiser about how we do it, or you should be. There's every aspect of life you can look at. People get hurt in families. But the last time I checked, people are still having babies. Single people still wanting to get married. Smile at me. Come on. Even though marriage has wrecked some lives. Marriage has been hard. It's out there. Over 50% of marriages don't work. But talk to these singles. They'll tell you, oh, I'm still ready. Because we understand that family overall is a good thing. Even though abuse has happened in families, people still want to have families. Even though hurts happen in families, people still want to have it. Even people that have been divorced want to get remarried. Come on, somebody. Because we all understand an experience doesn't have to define the rest of our lives. But why don't we do that for the church? I know I'm preaching to the choir because y'all are here. But somebody listening to this podcast is going to need to hear this. Because they've resigned in their spirit, I ain't going to church no more because of what happened to me, because what I saw. because what this and what that. Listen, you're going to miss out on the greatest blessing. Why is it the greatest blessing? Because it's the thing that Jesus is building in the earth. And there's a reason the Great Commission is called the Great Commission. We read that in Matthew 28 where Jesus tells you and I to go into all the world and preach the gospel and win souls and make disciples of all nations. He tells us that. What is the purpose of doing that? To build the church. To build the church. But it's called the Great Commission because he is including us in his mission. So if you're truly walking with Jesus, how many of you know you're going to go where he goes? You're going to do what he does. Or let's just separate the men from the boys right here. The girls from the ladies. This is it, the wheat from the tares. If you're not walking where Jesus is walking, you're not following him. He said, what I'm doing is I'm building the church. And if you call yourself a Christian and your life is not in some way, shape, or form helping Christ do that, you ain't walking with him. Oh, I know you come to church for an hour and a half every Sunday. I know you're in these chairs. But if your life is not doing what Christ is doing, you ain't walking with him. Amen? Think about it in the natural. If you grab somebody, you say, let's take a walk, and you start walking, and they go the other way. You ain't walking together, are you? And you can say, hey, man, come on, we're going this way. No, I'm good. I'm with you. I got you. I'm walking with you. Some of us, that's our Christian life. And you wonder why you're unfulfilled. You wonder why you're holding on trying to stay saved. You wonder why the club is still pulling on you. You still have that taste of alcohol that you can't shake. You still want that weed and you're just like, God, I'm trying to follow you. No, you're not. You're not. What you prescribe to is a system of belief that gives you fire insurance. What are we talking about, Pastor? It means you're not going to go to hell someday. It's incredible how many people will follow Christ and that's just their main concern. I don't want to go to hell. But you're living hell right now. And in 25 years of ministry, it breaks my heart to see people that truly love God missing out on the blessings, living small worlds, having no power. And you want to know why? It's because we are truly not walking with Jesus. Because when you're walking with Jesus, you do what he does. When you're walking with Jesus, what he cares about, you'll care about. Bottom line. But you know, for most Christians in America, being a Christian is a hobby. It's a hobby. Now, think about what a hobby is for people. A hobby for most people is something they do with their spare time. They go to work. They live their life. They live how they want to live, where they want to live. They do whatever they want. And then with their spare time, they overhear and they may work on cars. They may play softball. They may play basketball. They may watch sports. They may, you know, knit or macrame or knit sweaters or, come on, somebody, help me out, ladies. I don't know what your hobbies are. They may shop. How's that? There you go. They may draw or paint. And it's like their hobby possesses 2 hours of their week. It's what they do on their spare time. Let me tell you something. Being a Christian is sure ain't a hobby. It don't work as a hobby. It's dead as a hobby. It's hard as a hobby. It has no life as a hobby. This thing's a lifestyle. This thing gets you up in the morning. This thing should alter the way you see the world, the way you look at your wife, the way you look at your kids, the way you view your boss. Oh, come on, somebody. This thing should alter the way you live, breathe, move, and have your being. And for a lot of us, it does. We don't do anything without consulting our God because we understand he is the Son of God. He is the Lord God, and I love him, and he loves me. So to walk with Jesus means you do what he does. You're about what he's about. Kind of like how it should be in a marriage, and I say should be because it ain't always. In a marriage, how many know, sometimes you take on what is important to your spouse. Has anybody ever done that? I hope so. I really do. Your marriage, it's not going to work, baby. So there are aspects in a marriage where you got to take on your partner's likes, needs. How many ever sat through, don't raise your hand, but how many of you guys ever sat through a movie that you really didn't feel like watching? Don't raise your hand now. How many of you ladies have ever sat through a sporting event that you could have cared less about, but your man was crying and shouting about it, wearing his favorite jersey and acting like he played, saying things like, "We won. Yeah, we won. Ooh, you sat on the couch and broke a sweat talking about we won." We do these things. We do them for our kids. We do them for our kids. They get in a sport. And what do? You go to all the games. Not because you just love that sport. Come on, somebody. Not, that's not why. But you do it because they're interested in it. So you find yourself alongside their interests. Part of being a good person. It's the same way that we walk with Jesus. What matters to him should matter to us. Or here it is, and I don't hate to tell you, I got to help you. You ain't walking with Jesus. You've made him your hobby. You've made him your just little thing that you like to do with your free time. Because, you know, y'all, I'll go to church on Sundays. I ain't got nothing better to do. You know, oh, yeah, I'll go do that. I'll call myself a Christian. But listen, here's where the rubber meets the road. Is Jesus' mission your mission? It's supposed to be. That's why he said you've got to lay down your life to find it. Now, I know we all have things we're doing. We all have careers. We all have things we're pursuing. But we need to learn how to put Jesus' wants, needs, and desires above our own. The awesome thing about God, this is the awesome thing about God, and it separates him from any other God on the planet Earth. All these other gods and these religions, they're so demanding on people. They're so, you know, if you could go to some of these countries that we go to, it's amazing what people will do in the name of a lie, that Christians have a hard time doing little things in the name of the truth. You know, I was at the Capitol a few years back. I think we were showing an out-of-town friend the Capitol, and we were inside. And I remember 12 o'clock hit. And we were walking through the Capitol building in downtown. And all of a sudden, I saw these three dudes just stop what they were doing. They went over to the east window or whatever it was, the west window. I think it was the east window. And they pulled out these mats. Whew. And in that place, in the Capitol building, they pulled out these mats and these little prayer shawls. And they bowed down and they began to do their prayers towards Mecca. To Allah. And I sat there and at first I was like, what are these cats doing? Because you don't see that every day. Come on, somebody, amen. If you was in Walmart and somebody just did that, you would all, what's going on here? But I had that same reaction. But instead, as I was watching that, I felt the Holy Spirit say, observe that. Observe that. What they're doing in the name of a lie. What they're doing in the name of a lesser God. And I can't, for some of us Christians, my gosh, we have a hard time praying over our food. Come on, I see you in the restaurant, you get your food, you're looking around. We do them headache prayers, you know, we just kind of act like, play it off like it ain't no thing, you know. And then there's some of us, if we just keep it 100, we don't even pray. We just throw that one up, Father bless this food, amen. But it's amazing what others do with a God that is so much harder on them. You study these other religions. If they don't get it right, they don't get that God. That's why they serve so hard. That's why they're up on keeping all these rules and regulations and not eating this and not eating that. Because if they mess it up, that God won't receive them. But we got the only God whose grace covers a multitude of sins. that even though I mess up, even though I make mistakes, he tells me, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be there. Even if you ain't prayed in a month, I'm still loving you. I'm still treating you the same. I'm still there for you. That's the God we serve. That's the thing we've got to remember when it comes time to understand that I've got to lay down my life, what I want, for what Christ wants. That's where the rubber meets the road. Because I got to tell some of you in here today, you ain't walking with Jesus. You're not. And that path that you're going on by yourself, it's not going to end in a good place. It's going to hurt a lot of people. Some of us, we're coming to church, but you ain't walking with Jesus. And here's how you can know you're walking with Jesus. You're concerned with what he's concerned about. And what is he concerned about? Winning souls and making disciples, building his church. Amen? Come on, give God a good praise clap for that understanding right now. Because we want to remove all these, well, I didn't know. No, you know. From today on, if you're walking with Christ, that's what your life points to. Well, I just serve God my own way. Good luck with that. 25 years in ministry, I've never seen somebody that's serving God their own way have great fruit. Ever. Ever. Because remember, we started talking about this, that everything God creates has a system that it thrives in. A tree must be planted to grow. When you take it out of that and you put it in your house, like at Christmas time, the thing stops growing. It looks green, it looks alive, but as some of you know, because you ain't put your Christmas tree away yet, and it's almost Valentine's Day. See, you get some grace up to Valentine's Day, okay? Amen. You get some, but once it's Valentine's Day and that thing's still up, consider yourself hood. You're hood. You're hood. You're hood. I don't care what you say, you're hood. Don't get me started on Christmas lights around the house, please. You're making us all look bad with that. Just take them down. Take a half hour, get them suckers down. That's a word for somebody right now. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. But you take a tree out of its natural system, it'll die. Here's the thing. It'll look good for a little while, just like some of us in here look good for a little while. Look good for a little while. A year from now, you might not be around. And it ain't God's fault. Quit getting mad at God. Well, God, quit saying stuff like, well, I tried. No, you didn't. Because there is a system that it takes to be fruitful. And that system is getting in community, the church. That system means walking with Jesus. What he cares about, I care about. Everything that I'm in is connected to the church. So if I got a business, guess what? What makes that business prosperous, what makes it Christ, is that it's connected to the church. What makes my family thrive is I connect my family to the church. What makes my marriage strong is I connect my marriage to the church. Why? Because it is the only thing Jesus is doing in the earth. That's it. That's it. So those of you that have not yet made being a Christian a high priority, you come to church when you can, when you want to, when you feel like it. Listen, you can look at the areas that are weak in your life and you can see that if you would only connect to what is on the heart of God, you will see the life of God flow through you and flow from that place into every aspect of your life. Now, I'm not promising you pie in the sky. Everything's not going to be perfect. But I'm telling you this, that's what walking with Jesus looks like. Don't make him a hobby. Don't make him this side thing you're into. It's not just a fad. This is how we roll. This is how we live. This is how we think. This is how we succeed in life. It's the secret ingredient to a successful life, connection with a loving God. And do your research. Look at these other religions. Look at these other walks of faith. We're the only one that can stand and profess a loving God who took the curse of sin on the cross, who took the judgment of God that we all deserve away from us so that we could have good lives. Why would you not want to connect to a God like that? Now, I know there have been a lot of churches that put, you know, they put, you know, bondage on the people, like the Pharisees did, rules, baggage. Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to do this, 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 and this. And some people are still mad because maybe I'm wearing tennis shoes up in the pulpit. My grandmother would have rolled in her grave knowing that I'm up here right there. She'd have been like, what in the world? Again, I get we've had experiences where serving Jesus looked like bondage, but that's not the word. That's not what this is about. Because some of those same people that subscribe to some of those laws, even though they went to church, even though they knew the word, they weren't building the house, winning souls, or making disciples. They were subscribing to a club, a hobby. Are you tracking with me today? So Deuteronomy 8:18, it says this. We've been talking about this. But you've got to get this spirit in your DNA. You've got to understand that this is your promise. Every time you're thinking about a new endeavor, every time you're praying about doing something new, you should pray this over your kids. It says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. We're called to a prosperous life, to a blessed life. But here's why: that we may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. See, when you connect and you walk with Jesus and you care about what he cares about, that's when provision begins to flow into your life like never before. But the problem with most people is we're not building God's kingdom. We're trying to just build our own kingdom. We got to be careful with that. If we really strip things down, the reason why some of us want to be great is because we want to be great. We want the accolades. We want to be seen. We want to be known. We're trying to build our own platform on our own stage. You've got to be careful for that. And the way we keep that kind of desire at bay is by putting Christ's desires and his mission before our own. It's like I said earlier, everything you're a part of should connect to the house of God somehow, some way. Why? Because that's where Jesus is building, that's where he's walking, and that's what he's concerned with. And so he gives us promises that say this: hey, remember the Lord your God. I'm giving you the power, the innate ability to prosper, to get wealth. This scripture here, I've seen people in India stand on it who are in a crazy caste system, where that system is designed that you never can get ahead. Yet, we were with a pastor who was under that system that now he has to this day a church, the largest church in Delhi. He could never have that in that system. But you know what? He got a revelation. It don't matter where you come from, who you are, the strikes against you. If you get an understanding of God's promise towards you, and understand that you have power to get well, God can do some amazing things in your life. Young people, you got to know who you are. You got to know what's at stake. Following Jesus, is there some sacrifices? Yes. But there are also some incredible covenant promises that when you walk with Jesus, what you do, he does. What he does, you do. That's when we begin to tap in to an unlocked potential like you've never seen. But you've got to get a heart, and here it is, for the church. You've got to. Because here's the other thing. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. There ain't a man in here, I hope there ain't a man in here, that wouldn't go to war, that wouldn't hit you with a brick if you touched his lady. Come on, somebody. Can I get a good, strong amen? Right, husbands? Somebody walked up and pushed your woman down. It's on. Thank you. Do a Craig on you and hit you with a brick, Debo. Boom. Right? Because you don't mess with somebody's lady. Can I get an amen from the ladies? The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. So you can go on with your posts criticizing the church if you want to. But I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Does Jesus' bride have some flaws? Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, too. The church is not perfect. It's very far from it. But it's still His. It's still His. Every man knows the woman you married's got some flaws. Don't amen me. Don't amen me. But she's yours, right? She's yours. Same Jesus thinks the same way. How could you claim to walk with the Lord yet not have a heart for His church? And again, it's flawed. Believe me. A lot of things wrong with churches. I can tell you some stories where I'm just like, Lord, there's a lot of things wrong with churches. But you know what? Overall, the body of Christ, it's still the bride of Christ. So here's what I need to do. Because it's Christ, I got to develop a heart for it. I got to develop a heart for it. I can't let my heart for God be different than my heart for His church. The same way, you can't be my friend and hate my wife. Because guess what? You ain't my friend. We don't get down like that. Can I get an amen in here? You can't be somebody's friend and not like their wife or treat their wife bad, because that's not going to happen then. You got to give her the same respect you give me. Amen? You got to have that. Why? Because she's close to my heart. The same way, you can't claim, oh, I just love the Lord, but I don't go. I don't like going to church. You need a heart check. You got to refocus. Yeah, but Pastor, there's this, there's this, there's that. See, it goes back to what Jesus told the Pharisees. It's amazing you could pick out all the flaws in somebody else's eye, the specks in other people, but you can't see the doggone log in your own eye. Everything you're saying about church and the church people, you probably got 2 to 3 times as many flaws in yourself. Are you tracking with me today? But here's what we got to do. To expand our world, to see God prosper us and bless us, we got to get a heart for what He has a heart for, and that is the church. And what is the church? The Greek word for the church is ecclesia. It's the ecclesia. It basically means this. It's the gathering together of the called out ones to action. It's being a part of a community that comes together and takes action. That's what the church is. It's a house of action. It's a house of prayer, and we need to connect to it. It's a house also of vision, and we need to connect to it. But here's the thing. It's also God's vehicle to bring us all together so that we can walk with Him. So no matter what area of life you're in, you bring the church to it. Your business, guess what? You're God's representative of the church in your business. So rep us well. Can I get an amen on that? So your family, guess what? You connect your house of God, your house to the house of God. Guess what? Rep us well, families. Whatever you're doing, you connect it to the house of God, and that is how we complete the great co-mission. Remember, co means together. Jesus didn't say, this is my mission. It's the co-mission, which means we accomplish it together. We win souls, we make disciples, we build the church. It's what we do. And we've got to leave this mentality of American Christians that says, I go to church. No, you are the church. You are the church. This is not my church. This is your church. Can I get an amen on that? You're a member here. This is your house. This is God's house. He called you here. But here's what we need to do. We need to connect to it. Because when we connect to it, we bring blessing into our lives. Because you could search the scriptures all you want, and it is the only thing Jesus is building in the earth. If you could see Jesus physically, what he's up to, guess what he's up to? Winning souls and making disciples. Guess what Jesus is doing right now on the earth? Wherever he is, he's winning souls and making disciples. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that's what you better be doing. Or guess what? You ain't walking with him. Yeah, I know what you say you believe, but you ain't walking with him. Yeah, I know you call yourself a Christian, but you ain't walking with him. And as long as you ain't walking with him, you don't get the results of where he go, of walking with him. And this is why we have Christians, their lives are no different than the world's. Their marriages are no better. The moms and dads in the church are just as jacked up as the moms and dads that don't know God. This is why we have this problem. This is why our young people are just as jacked up as the world's young people. You want to know why? Because we have not taught, we have not understood that to walk with Jesus means you're concerned with what Jesus is concerned about. It's an amazing thing. Now, does that mean y'all should quit your jobs and just start making churches? No. It's not what that means. That's not what that means at all. What it means is everything you're doing, you connect it and build it around the vision. Because here's the thing Jesus told us, God told us in Deuteronomy, that I've given you a covenant to be wealthy. I've given you a covenant to be successful. I've given you a covenant to prosper. So God wants you to have strong families for a reason. God wants your marriage to work for a reason. God wants you to own houses and businesses for a reason. What's the reason? Well, there's a couple things there. Number one, it's how God's expressing his love towards you. God is not against you, he is for you. Nobody believes in you more than your heavenly Father. Nobody loves you more than your heavenly Father. And Jesus said, as much as you can love your kids and you're imperfect, think about how your heavenly Father looks at you. You give your kids gifts. Come on, somebody. You give them birthday parties. You do nice things for your kids. Guess how much more your heavenly Father wants to do those things for you. That's the God we serve. He's not the God that will take stuff away from you because you messed up last week. He's not the God that's going to withhold things from you because you just won't obey. He's the God that wants to bless you. But here's the thing. You got to walk with him. Why would you not want to walk with somebody who's got your greatest interests in mind? Here's why. You don't trust him. You don't trust him because you don't know him. I know you go to church, but you don't know my God. Because if you knew him, if you just knew him, you wouldn't sit there and second guess everything in his word. If you just knew him, you go, if he said it, I believe it, I'm going to do it. And you'll reap the benefits of it. See, we've got to understand God is not the God of your old church, of your old religion. He's the God of the Bible. And you've got to understand there's two covenants. There's an Old Testament and there's a New. Eddie, if you could help me on the keys. The Old Testament reveals God the Father. It reveals the law. It reveals it says things, talks about his judgment, his wrath, his anger. Some of us carry that into this new walk with God that we have. But Jesus came along and the Bible tells us he changed all that. He took the wrath of God upon himself. He took the judgment and the curse of sin upon himself. And the Bible tells us the curse is broken. You and I don't need to know the God of wrath and anger in that way. We can experience God the Father through the love of Jesus. Through the love of Jesus. We don't have to be afraid when we don't pray or we messed up this or we messed up that. Oh my gosh, God's going to get me. No. Jesus satisfied his wrath. Why did he satisfy his wrath? So we could do whatever we want? No. So that we can learn that God loves us. And when a loving Father asks you to do something, it's different than a father that's angry. When a loving father asks you to do something, you trust him. And you also understand, he's telling me to do this because it's good for me. It's going to bless me. It's going to help my marriage. It's going to help my business. It's going to help everything that I'm doing. But people, I pray that as your pastor, I'm doing a good job pointing you to him. Because you got to get to know him. Not only get to know him, you got to walk with him. Whatever he cares about, you should care about. And the greatest thing that Jesus cares about is the building of his church. So if you're going to expand your world, understand this, it only gets larger when God's in it. When God's in your world, there's no limits. You know why? Because there's no limits to God. So many times in my life, I find myself in places where I look and I go, how did I get here? How did I get to experience this? How did this happen? And it's because I learned a long time ago to expand my world by caring about what God cares about. So you don't need to leave your jobs, leave your careers, and drop out of college, and leave high school. Somebody's saying, dang it. You don't need to do that. All you need to do is include God, include his mission in everything that you're doing. Can I get an amen on that? Let's give God a good praise clap this morning. Now, I shared all that because there was also something else on my heart that I have to bring to you. And that is we have been in this building here for the last 4 years. Meeting at James Rutter. And we've been searching. We've been diligent to try to find a home for Elevate Life because I know God has one for us. You know, the Bible says when you're faithful with little, he gives you much. And it's been truly, truly amazing what we have done from this place here in South Sacramento. It really is. And I talk to pastors all the time that tell me, wow, how are you doing this? How are you? And I can only look to the congregation and say, we've got people that get it. We got people that have linked their lives to what Jesus cares about. And that is winning souls and making disciples. You guys, this everything we do as a church, it's not my fruit, it's not my wife's, it's yours. Every One Sisterhood event, every Friday night awakening, every church service is the result of a gathering together of called out ones that have made Jesus' mission their mission. We've been good stewards with that. We've done incredible things here in South Sac. We've done incredible things for families, for people, for nations. Come on, what's been happening in Lacab, in the Philippines, has been amazing. What we're going to touch and get involved in the Dominican Republic is incredible. The kids and the orphanages that we're helping in Mexico, from this place right here. It's incredible. It's only the beginning. God has a base for us, a home, a house for us. And he wants it to be great. And you guys have been incredible in doing just what I'm preaching about today. Joining your lives to what Jesus cares about, the church. Because of that, there's been incredible fruit. Because of that, our lives have gotten bigger. As I was preparing my message, I was seeing some of your faces and some of you that have been on a missions trip with us. And I began, there's something that always goes through my mind is when you do church right, your dreams come true. What I mean by that, not my dreams, your dreams. When you give yourself over to what's important to Jesus, your dreams come true through the church when it's done right. Thinking about all the things we've done, the outreaches we've done, and you know, the people have found their destinies, people have found part of their purpose. Mondo goes out every Saturday and feeds the homeless, and we got these people that are doing this thing here, and outreaches here, and basketball here, and going on missions trips. And I was describing to somebody not too long ago, I was saying it's amazing to see our people do all these things. They're doing the gospel, and they're going places they would never go if they didn't have church. And this smart aleck person goes, well, I don't think that's true. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, if they had a desire to travel, they don't need the church to travel. They could go to other countries on their own. I said, maybe so, but they would have never gone to Lacab. Last time I checked, that ain't on the travel journal. They wouldn't go to those places. Are you tracking what I'm? Are you seeing what I'm talking about here? They wouldn't go and meet the same people. They wouldn't get to meet some of these guys we met in the Philippines, the Guzman, and come on, help me. What are these other guys? Pastor Father Carmine is out there playing basketball with us, and the different De La Rosa and all these different guys and Precious. And there's a girl named Precious, and she don't look like the one in the movie. Different. But our dreams get fulfilled when we go to places. And I know people go to Jamaica all the time. They don't go where we went. They ain't going to Denim Town. Unless they're buying drugs or something. I don't know. They ain't going to Trench Town other than just to see where Bob Marley came from. And they're not getting on there with those kids doing some of the things we've done, seeing a connection with our destiny. That happens through the church. And next month when we do this outreach out here, some of you are going to come in contact with something that you didn't even know was in you when you get out here and you serve this community. But I say all that to say our church has a mission. We have to fulfill it. And our mission is to be a great church. Not so they can look at us and go, oh, they're great people. No, so they can look at God and know God's great and God's good. You say, well, you know, there's so many churches around Sacramento. I know. It blows my mind why God would want another one. It really does. But did you know when you think about things, some of you, you had to come here to get your life right. You drove by churches every week, every day, and you never went in. But for some reason, when we put a sign out here, it took you coming here to get you starting to think right. To get you to start leaving lifestyles. I don't know why that is, other than God said to do it. And I know he's calling us to build a church. I know he's calling us to have a building, because there will be other people that will come into that building and have the same experiences that you had. But here's the thing. He's asking all of us to build the house. 2 years ago, I came to you with an opportunity that we had to get a church building. We did a building drive, and we had people pledge. I think it was $50,000 was our first pledge as a people. And to this day, we've had 40,000 of it come in. But I'm going to ask you right now to just stop paying on those pledges. Because over the next couple weeks, what I want you to do is I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Lord what he wants you to do in pledges to raise money towards the building fund. Because as we've been looking at buildings, the common denominator of what we're finding is every building we're going to get, we're going to have to build it out. And you can't prepare a building and prepare children's rooms and all that kind of stuff for anywhere under $100,000. Right now in the bank, we have $40,000 saved up in there for a new building. But next week, I want to come together, and I want you this week to be in prayer, prayerfully considering two things. Number one, the responsibility that you have to your God as you're walking with Jesus. This is something, and if you're just visiting us today, please, obviously, you know, I'm speaking to the members of the house, and there's no compulsion on any of you. But if you're a member of this house, you got to understand this. Every Christian on the planet Earth has been a part of a building fund. It's part of what we do, how we roll. And I know the world likes to make fun of it. They like to make fun of it. You know, you watch movies nowadays, whenever they show church, the pastor's always up there collecting for the building fund. Hallelujah. You know, and they make jokes about it. And there's always, you know, a weirdness about it. But listen, we're the only organization that provides free services for people. How do you think we do that? Through the giving of the saints. Try to get help for your marriage outside of the church. See how much it costs. Last night I met with the singles. And if I do say so myself, I gave them a wealth of revelation about being married. That if they got it, will save them thousands of dollars in divorce lawyer fees. Save them so much for free. There's so much that we got to understand God does in the house. That's not just for us, but for others. So what I'm asking you to do as members of this house over the next week or so is to pray about what God will have you do in the next 12 months towards the building fund, above our tithes and offerings. Now listen, we do tithes and offerings here every week, but that's how we roll. That's how we get things going every week. The building fund has to come on top of that. But what I'm asking you to do is prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you do. What I don't want you to do is look at your checkbook and go, oh, well, you know, we can give 10 bucks. Listen, we're going to believe God. In this way, if God would get you the money, what would you give? If God would bring it in, what would you give? Would you give 1,000? Would you give 2,000? So every pledge I've ever made to the Lord, I never look at what we have. Because if I look at what we have, I'm going to limit the Lord. But I always go, God, give me a number of what you're going to do. God might say 1,000, 2,000. And some of you go, oh, I've never given that much. I don't have that much. I know you don't have it. It's not on you to give. All God is looking is for people to be vessels. Could you believe he'd get you $1,000 to give into it, to the building? Could you believe he'd give you 500? Some of you could believe, God will give me 5,000. He'll bring it into my life. Some of you over the past 6 months have gotten pay raises. You've gotten new jobs. What if that was part of how God wants to bless the house? So I don't know what it is God's going to ask you to do, but this morning I want you to go from this place and be in prayer. And when we come together next week, we're going to make pledges to the Lord. And we're going to say, God, if you'll do this in my life, I'll bring this to the house of God as an offering. We do. We need about $150,000 to build out a building. It does us no good to go out and find them if we can't build it out. Because we're not going to have a dumpy church. How many know what I'm talking about? We just ain't going to do it. If that's the case, we'll stay here. We're not going to do church like maybe some of our ancestors did them. Come on, somebody. Amen. We ain't just going to throw crayons in a room and call it children's church. Put a chalkboard up. No. We want to do some great things for our kids. Y'all keep having babies. We need to build a great nursery. Come on. We need a good nursery for our kids to grow up in. We need a good building for some of these teenagers to get married in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Can I hear 15? And for whatever reason, God is calling you to link up with his purposes today in this season. And together, guys, listen, together, we're going to build something great. I would believe that. We're going to build something great. Yeah, come on. So I want to pray over you, and then I'm going to let you go. And if you need prayer for anything else, we'll be here to pray for you for a little while. I do have to kind of leave in a hurry because I'm coaching. Me and my brother Vince are coaching Diego's baseball team, and they have practices on Tuesday. So bear with me over the next few weeks. If I run out of here quick, it's not because I feel like I'm a superstar. It's quite the opposite. I'm trying to be a superstar for my kids, you know. And so give me that grace. I know we have the Rosados that will be here. I am going to stick around today for the new members meeting, but we got to get through all that so that I can get out the door. But listen, we'll pray with you after, but right now I want you to just bow your heads and I just want to pray over you. And maybe God is already giving you a number that you could do. You know, if we just had the adults in here, every adult pledge $1,000 over the next year, that would meet the need. But some of us have enough faith that you could do something more. You can believe God that he'll bring you $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever it might be. But I want you to understand, it's not just fundraising. It's not just, oh, we're doing this because we like our church. Link your life and your blessing to what's important to Jesus. Solidify your walk with him. Maybe up to this point, you're right. You've been living your own agenda, just kind of fitting God into it. But when you connect your finances, which is representative of your time, your life, to the house of God, it demonstrates that God, what's important to you is important to me. If you're building the church, I want to be a part of it. The Bible is very clear that one day we'll be in heaven and we will see the incredible things that were done through our offering, after service, things that we gave to the Lord. Now, Father, as I pray over every person here, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to them. Challenge their faith. Give them a number of what they can give over the next 12 months to build the house of God. Speak to them this week, Lord God, and give them faith to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Is this all right? Y'all still love me up here? Listen, I know it's funky sometimes. You go to church and they're always talking about money, 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 you know. But man, we don't get nothing done without the giving of the saints, you know. God ain't just going to drop a building out of heaven. He's going to speak to his children. And he's going to say, hey, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. And together, we're going to build something great. We're going to find our home. We're going to reach more people than ever before. This week, I want you to be in prayer about if God were to do this, would you give it? You might not have 1,000 right now, but if you say, it's just like we do with missions trips every year. You don't ever have the money when you sign up, but you say, God, I'll go, and he brings the money. It's the same thing. God, I'll give this, then he brings it. Amen? Stand on your feet this morning. We're going to expand our world by making what's important to Jesus important to us. Amen. Father, we bless every person as they go, and we thank you for your voice. Speak to us as we come to church next week and prepare our gifts for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now listen, when we come together next week, we're not going to get the offering. We're just going to give a pledge to say, I'm believing to give this coming year, this next 12 months for the building. Amen. God bless you guys.